Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 1, familiar scripture. You've heard preaching like this many, many times, but I pray God just remind us and stir us up. I remember John writing and said, I write to stir you up, and I just write to stir you up today and try to preach and pray that God will stir our hearts, help us in these things, and I pray God really speak to us. People here not saved and people that are saved may be helped. And truly the greatest story ever told is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. How can you? Over and over in my life, I have read these scriptures. I have preached and tried to teach and tried to tell others what really Christmas is really all about. And about the birth of the Lord Jesus. But I want to try to share with you three, I feel like, real important things about the birth of Jesus that we can make an application to something else today. I want you to stand, please, while I read chapter 1, verse 18, the book of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. And I want you to pay close attention that God makes it very clear before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, and he's called her husband there, that espousal was binding in that day. We think of an engagement kind of more lightly than what they did in that day when they were committed to each other. It was as a marriage, and no, they had not come together. Being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He loved her. He cared enough and wanted not to make her a public example, but privately put her away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, there she's called his wife, but not come together. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. What a statement. Jesus, save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and that name that's above every name, and that name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess someday yonder in glory. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us all to realize the reality of the name Jesus and how true and how real he really is. I pray today, Father, and thank you for all the songs have been sung, prayers have been prayed, and Father, the offering been taken. Everything has been magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now in the preaching of the Word of God, you'd help us as I try to do that you've laid upon my heart. I pray for that divine touch, anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, in my mind, my heart, my very being be saturated with the Spirit and the power of God that I may preach today to please you and bring glory to you. I thank you today, God, for the privilege to stand here in this place before this people. And Lord, yet I tremble at the thought that I stand here and endeavor to preach unto them. There are those here that know not Jesus Christ. And I pray for the Holy Ghost to bring real conviction unto them and draw them to the place where they'll come and be saved. I pray for those who are saved and they're falling afar off and they don't have the joy, the thrill of being saved they once had. And it's not real to them as once it was, and they're in that backslidden condition. I pray, God, they'd see their need and want to come and cry for the joy to be restored. Then, Lord, there are those here that have problems and difficulties. Some been in bereavement and sorrow, some in sickness, and some through family situations, and they're struggling. Lord, help them to know today they's help in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Our Father, I pray for all these today. Now, Father, we commit it all into your hands, and I pray you have your way, magnify yourself, and we'll give you all the glory. And even now, thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Three important truths concerning the birth of Jesus. Let me say this. Somebody said, and I agree with this, there's five things you ought to always remember about Jesus. Number one, you ought to always remember about his birth. Number two, you always ought to remember about his blood. Number three, you ought to always remember about his burial. Number four, you always ought to remember about his bodily resurrection. Number five, you ought to always remember about the blessed rapture, return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you remember all that about him, you've got some good thoughts going. Amen. You're remembering the blessed darling Son of the living God. But today we're going to center in on his birth, and Christmas season's upon us, and we'll be thinking about Christmas. And let me say this, every present given, every thought about Christmas, everything we do, and all the hustle and the bustle of Christmas, let us not forget what it's really all about. It's about a birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that came into the world. And if he hadn't come, we'd been of all men most miserable. We wouldn't have any hope. There'd be no hope to us, period, because he had to come. Let me say three things quickly this morning about his birth. And I pray God just remind us and stir us up and help us. This was an unusual birth. Now, when I say unusual, that's an understatement about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, it said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. If you look in verse number 23 that we read, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And a virgin shall be with child. And we talk about the virgin birth sometimes. And in our modern day and modern science and medical abilities that men have, they say, well, we can produce life. We can have a human being. But they have to have a man involved somewhere, somehow. And there has to be a woman involved some way, somehow. And they may take from the woman and put back into the woman, but there has to be something take place. Man does not create life. God gives life. And for a woman that never known man, never had any relationship with a man in any way, any form, medically or any other way, had no relationship, but she was found with child, is a human impossibility. But not so with God. God moved upon. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 35, and the angel of the Lord talking to Virgin Mary, and she said, how can this be? How can I have a child? I've never known a man. And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which is born to thee shall be called the Son of God. I say, hallelujah. I don't understand that. I can't explain that. I do not know how it all happened. I just know the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And somewhere in that holiness of God, in the power of God, Mary conceived by the power of God a child in her womb. There has never been a birth like that birth. God took the dust of the ground and made a man. He took a rib of a man and made a woman. But there has never been a birth like this birth. Ain't never been anybody came into the world like this man came into the world. And he came in by the power of the Holy Ghost upon a woman that knew not a man. And there was conceived in her womb. And God became a man, a babe in a womb. I say hallelujah tonight. You say, preacher, explain that. I can't explain God. I can't explain that to you. I just can't explain a lot of things to you. But I believe it with all my heart that God came in the Virgin Mary. And you say what you want to about it. I just believe what God said about it. Amen. The manner, it's unusual in the manner of the conception. Never been a conception like that conception. Never has been. Let me say number two, the manifestation of this birth. Never been one manifested like this either. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's a statement in itself, isn't it? And verse 14 said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I say to you today, thank God he was manifested in this world. His conception was great, but his birth came, and he's laid in a manger. But I want you to know that he grew up, and he dwelled among us as a man. I've said recently many times, somehow this thought got in my mind. I read it somewhere and can't get over it, that he was as much man as though he were not God, as much God as though he was not man. It stuck in my mind and my heart in a depth that I can't explain to you, but it makes sense to me. I can't explain a God-man, but I believe he's as much man as though he were not God, as much God as though he were not man. I say hallelujah. What a manifestation that was. Be manifest. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hallelujah. What a manifestation. Never been one manifested like that man. Amen. Manifested, the Son of the living God, came into the world, born of a virgin, lived a life, and was manifested to man as the God-man. Never been one like him, never will be another like him. I'm still on the first point, just give you some points under the point. Never been a conception like that conception. Never been a manner like that. Never been a manifestation like that. But there's never been a meaning like that birth either. Hallelujah. What a meaning his life had. A babe born. I have children. I have grandchildren. I have one great grandchild. You say, preacher, you're getting old. Yeah, but I'm getting closer to heaven every day. Amen. And hallelujah. But every baby ever born to my family, they were precious. And you look at them and they mean so much to you. Brother Bob back there, he may be shining a little brighter this morning than usual. He's a new grandpa. And he's happy about it and excited about being a grandpa because he's a boy. Amen. That really made him excited. Other than was a girl, and so he's excited. And I've looked at my children when they were born and thought, my, I got a baby boy here. And they're born, and I didn't realize what I was getting. But I got him. And he grew. But when I helped that little baby boy, I didn't have any idea about it. I was young, and I just knew I was a daddy, and I didn't know how a daddy's supposed to be a daddy, but I'm glad he's there. And then along came Jewel, and I helped that little baby girl in my hand, and her meaning for her life. I thought about, here's a little baby girl now, and I got to be a daddy to her, and I got to raise this little girl. Then those little grandchildren got coming along, and they kept coming, girl. Anthony said he would have had another one, but he read somewhere wherever fourth baby and born in the world was Chinese. Amen. So he quit. He crazy. Baby girls. But I tell you, those baby girls were precious. Every one of them. I might have been wanting a boy, and he never did want to find out before ahead of time what they were. And always a surprise to us when we got to the hospital and they were born, they were girls. And but that was always a blessing and joy. Once you held them in your arms, you didn't care whether it was a boy, a girl, or a baby. And there was a meaning in that life. I had a child, I had children, I had grandchildren, and then Josie came by. And then I had a great grandgirl. And praise God, amen. And so I held her in my arms, and she has grown now that I have to sit down to hold her in my arms. But she's precious, and they all have meaning in their life. They were all put here to glorify God.
They were all put here to bring glory to him and worship him and adore him. And they all have their own personality, their own way, their own meaning, their way they live their life. But they all have a purpose in life. But I tell you, they've never been one born had the meaning of this one born. I'm talking about this morning. That one that was born in a manger of Bethlehem. I'm telling you, they never one had a meaning like that one had a meaning. Amen. He came in the world. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. At one time he talked about dying. He said, for this purpose came I into the world. I want you to know he came into this world so he could go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sin, take our place, pay our price, and die like I say, hallelujah. I'm glad for a Savior that came like that. He didn't come. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He magnified God and all of that. He did all that. That wasn't the main purpose he came for. He didn't come the main purpose to open blinded eyes and to raise up those that had died physically so they could live for a few more days. And then go. He didn't come for that purpose, man. He came primarily. The meaning of that life was he came to die for our sin on the cross of Calvary. I say hallelujah. Ain't never been a birth like that birth. Ain't never been a meaning like that meaning of that birth. When he came in, he came with a meaning in his life. He came born to die. And I say praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. He did, and he died for our sin, paid our price. I praise your name. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Hallelujah. I say glory to God. I'm redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. That's why he came. All through the Bible's about redemption. He tells us we need redemption. He tells us people that send redemption through. He gives the word of God about redemption. He sends us a plan of redemption. He sends a person of redemption. Explains redemption. Going to consummate redemption. I say hallelujah. That's why he came. That's why he came, to redeem us. And I praise him. Let me say secondly about this birth, three important truths. It was unusual. Unusual. No birth like that birth. But it's also unwanted. Unwanted. There's a lot of babies today aborted. You know why? They're not wanted. They don't want them. So they abort them. And can you say, preacher, that's all right if they don't want the baby and they're just a, well, I can't even think of the word they call it. A fetus, yeah. And I never even heard that word in recent years. I always heard there's a baby. I always heard they conceived. And when they conceived, it was a baby. You know what? I still believe it is. And God said from the mother's womb. And I believe in that time of conception, there is a human being, a baby, a real baby. Amen. You say, preacher, I had an abortion. Let me say this to you. And I've had them weep in my office and talk to me about it. Let me say to you today, God forgives that like he forgives everything else if you repent. But it's still murder. Amen. And God will forgive you and help you. And I want every young person here to know it's murder. Amen. Preacher, you ought not preach like that. It's Christmas time. I saw this black and thought I'd preach against sin. Amen. And so it's sin. You say, well, preacher, you're not politically correct today. I may not be politically correct, but I'm Bible correct. Amen. It's still sin to kill. Amen. And whether it's in the womb, outside the womb, amen. And so babies, and I praise God for life. Life is God-given. When that conception's made, it's God-given. Man can't make a conception happen. They can't make it work. It has to be God that does that. Amen? That's God. I praise God for babies. Amen. And love them to death. And how can anybody kill them? I don't know. But this baby was unwanted. Not by Mary. Not by Joseph. Not by certain one. But he was wanted by the majority of people. They did not want this child to come in. In Matthew chapter, not Matthew, but Luke chapter 2. In verse number 7. And said she brought forth her firstborn son. Laid him in a manger. Because there was no room in the inn. When they laid him in a manger. Now a manger is a place where you feed cattle. and she had him in the barn, what we call a barn, a stable, and they laid him in the manger where cattle feed, and because there's no room in the inn. They didn't want him in there. She's going to have a baby, and she was ready to the baby to come, a birth to be given. And the man said, I don't have any room, but you can have a stable and put him there. No, no, you know what today? There's a lot of people don't have any room for Jesus. They don't really want him. You say, oh, people today won't get, no, they don't really want Jesus. Christmas time, where's the most emphasis put? It's not put on Jesus. Most emphasis is put on somebody else. Amen, Santa Claus. Most emphasis is said about other things other than Jesus. You know why? They really don't want Jesus, because Jesus will mess up their routine. It'll mess up their program. It'll mess up. I'm glad Jesus messes up our program. I'm glad Jesus messes up our routines. Amen. I want to show you something here. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, when Herod, the king had heard, now I know this has been some time since the birth of Christ, but here when Herod, the king had heard these things, he was troubled. All Jerusalem with three wise men came looking. The wise men came, had three gifts. They came looking for the Savior. And then verse number 12 says, been warned of God in a dream, that's about the wise men, that they should not return to Herod, they can turn to their own country another way. And they parted, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and arrived and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. He said, Herod's going to want his life, take his life. You know why Herod didn't want Jesus? Because he was a king, Herod was. He's afraid somebody else would be king, and therefore he did not want Jesus to be around. He didn't want, you know why some people don't want Jesus today? Because if he ever comes in your life, he comes in to rule it. He don't come in to be your subject. He comes in you to be his subject. Amen. He doesn't come in for you to tell him, now, Lord, I need this, and I want you to do this. Now, Lord, it's time for this, and Lord, it ought to be worked out this way. And, Lord, that's not how it works, amen. When he comes in and says, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I want you to, amen, that's how it works. He doesn't come in the opposite way. I say, people today don't want Jesus because he's king. He's king. He's Lord. Amen. There's a debate sometimes on the Lordship of Christ. You can debate all you want to. He is Lord. It doesn't change him one bit. He's Lord of all. Amen. And you can't make him Lord. He is Lord. If he comes in, he just comes in as Lord. Amen. And you realize the fact, it's like one man said one time when he got saved, said, I can't explain it. All I knew was I was under new management. Amen. Somebody came in, took over. I can't explain that. I just believe that. I do too, don't you? New management. I'm trying to hurry. I really am. This is better than chicken. Amen. No Jesus. Amen. Praise God. What a life. Amen. He was one morning. But you know what? There's a few shepherds out there on the hillside. There wasn't many people looking for the coming of the Messiah. There wasn't really many people that really expected. They'd heard about it. All through the Old Testament, they'd heard somebody's coming. They heard the Son of David would come. They knew the Messiah was promised. They knew about that, but they wasn't really looking for him. And they wasn't really expecting him. And so there's a few shepherds out there on the hillside, and they were believing what God said. So the angels appeared to them, and they got to go worship. They got to go and see him. Hallelujah. And there's a few wise men over yonder knees, and they'd heard. And they'd been told, and they came to worship him. And by the way, when they got there, they worshiped him, not Mary. Plug that in right there, amen. They worshiped him and not Mary. And then they departed. And by the way, when they got there, they departed another way. If you ever get to Jesus, you'll leave a different than what you came. If you're the same when you leave, you never got to him. Amen. Never anybody ever got to Jesus, they ever left the same they came. Because you can't do it. He'll make a change in your life. Amen. We're going to have a program tonight. I'm not preaching tonight. I'm doing it all this morning. Amen. He's a come. They believed that. So they went to worship him, adore him. Didn't ever Simeon in the temple, that priest. And he'd heard, he believed. And he'd looking for and been told by the Holy Ghost. He'd not go until he had seen the Messiah. Hallelujah. He'd looking for him, expecting him. Hannah in the temple, she was looking for him and expecting him. But he said, now you take all that and compare it with the numbers that was thrown in the streets and everybody everywhere. He wasn't really looking for him nor expecting him to come. But he came anyhow. And God had prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He did. He came. But not many people knew it. Not many people were aware of it, but he did. And so he came that way, and he was unwanted, unexpected. Today, let me say to you, as we think about the blessed, darling Savior, how few in that day looked for him, expected him, was excited about him. But when he came, oh shepherds, can you see them now? I bet they shook their heads and said, can this be real? We must be seeing a vision. But those angels got to telling them about that was in Bethlehem. They said, let's go see this great sight. Let's go see it. And I don't know whether they left anybody with those sheep and just said, sheep, you do what you want to. We're going to go see Messiah. Can you imagine those shepherds? Hearts leaping inside of them saying, whoo! Messiah, he's come, he's come. And they went and they worshiped him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those wild men coming and saying, where is he? Where is he? We want to worship him. We want to worship him. Can you imagine the excitement when they saw him? And he went in, bowed, and took their gifts and offered to him. They got to worship him, and they departed another way. An angel appeared to him, told him, go a different way. And they went a different way, went away. Can you imagine them going off talking? We've seen him. We've seen him. We've seen him. We bowed at his feet. We got to behold the Messiah. Can you imagine Simeon being in the temple saying, I held him. I held him in my arms. I held the very Messiah. Can you imagine that? Can you remember John the Baptist when he saw him coming? Saying, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He was looking for him. He knew who he was. Why, John the Baptist shouting before he's ever born. Amen. Elizabeth must have been about 6 months along. And Mary came in the house and spoke to her. And the Bible says a babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb for joy. Hallelujah. John the Baptist is shouting glory. Hallelujah, I believe. I don't understand all that. I just believe that John, somehow God said, now's the time to shout, boy. He's a-coming. And he's got the shouting in the womb. Now here's what I'm trying to drive it all to. Christmas, let's remember his birth. It's unusual. Never been one like it. Let's remember he was unwanted. Let's don't be one of those that don't want him. A lot of people don't want him because he just messes up their life, they think. But he's the best gift you ever got. Will ever get is the Lord Jesus. But then he's unexpected. Nobody really looking for him much, just a few folk. But let's apply that now. Let's take that, and I'm going to close with this. Let's take that and apply it to the second coming, the return of the Lord Jesus. It's going to be very unusual. Amen. Now, Enoch got taken away, walked with God and was not. Elijah went up in the fire, whirlwind, chariot of fire. But that's just two men. But this rapture is going to be coming for all the redeemed. Hallelujah. That's going to be very unusual. When that takes place, and if it happened right now, all of a sudden, everybody in this house is saved, be gone. And all be left here be our clothes and false teeth and wigs. Shoes and socks. All those things be piled up here and we be gone. And you folk that's here, it's unsaved. You be looking around saying, what in the world happened? Bible said those that's heard the gospel, he's going to send them strong delusion. They believe a lie and be damned because they would not believe the truth. It's dangerous to hear the gospel and not be saved. That's dangerous. You're hearing the gospel, why Jesus came and why he did that. But it's unusual and he's coming. His coming's, but it's unwanted too. It's really unwanted. Most people don't really want Jesus coming. There's a few folk that do. There's a few folks saying, please come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. There's a few folks really looking for his coming and really wanting him to come. There's a few folks really expecting him to come any day, any time. You remember the song that was written, Wait a Little Longer, Please Jesus? I realize the songwriter had a thought in their heart that they wanted to see their loved ones saved. I understand that. I can appreciate that in that sense. But really, they'll be more lost tomorrow than they are today. There's more people reaching the age of accountability and being lost every day than they are being saved every day. Therefore, there's more lost every day than they are today. And so we ought to be praying, come quickly, Lord. Our only hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is him, amen. And without him, he is going to come. Our world is getting in a worse mess every day. And you can say all you want to about the political arena, but friend, I'm not going to try to paint you some kind of a picture. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not going to smile here and tell you everything's going to be fine. This world's headed down a course of destruction and headed to a bad time. But hallelujah, I'm headed up, not down. I'm going up in the rapture, and my hope is the coming of the blessed, darling Son of the living God. He's coming after me. He's going to take me out of here. You believe that? Are you expecting that? Do you live in expectation every day? Do you really look for him to come today? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he came that first time. But thank you, Lord, he's coming a second time. Lord, it wasn't many that first time that were looking for that unusual happening or wanting it to happen or expecting it to happen. But it happened. Lord, thank you that it did happen. Now, Father, our generation, help us to preach the return of the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Let us preach the blessed return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. Help us, Lord, to look for and expect his coming in Jesus' name.